The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Also, give us your recommendations for the most hated characters in favourite TV shows. I'll give you some examples. Apparently, the most hated list, which has been put together, includes the woman who played Julie, girlfriend of Ross and Friends, Skyler White from Breaking Bad, Dawn Summers and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Lord Grantham and Downton Abbey. We'll get to those in just a little while, and we'll get Dee Reddy and Jennifer Gannon to give us their most hated characters in popular TV shows as well. But I notice you don't have anything from The Hills in there, do you? Which is coming back, apparently.
It's back already.
You didn't get that alert that we all got.
Is The Hills back?
Because it was instrumental in making every single reality TV show that you know of now. And I always say that The Hills is just like, it elevated it to such a level. It was like an art, the way it was shot. It was the first time that it wasn't done on a fly on the wall, cheesy kind of camera, bad camera work. It had the same aesthetics and cinematography as you get from a really good film.
An American version of California.
Oh yeah, basically.
Well, there would have been no California without The Hills.
There would be nothing without The Hills, weirdly enough. And I think it was odd. It was so blank. And almost, like every star in it, there just had these elongated pauses and gaze off into the middle distance. And nothing much really happened by way of drama. There was only like I was going to say, there's only one or two or three major dramatic episodes.
You better explain, Dee, this reference.
And I use this term loosely, iconic moment from the original series where two of the characters, Lauren Conrad and Heidi, had a massive showdown in a nightclub. All their showdowns, and there was usually one big fight per episode, and it usually happened either in a nightclub or in
the car park or Ledoux.
Yeah.
So it's either in Ledoux or the car park of the Ledoux.
And what was this particular incident?
This particular one, so Lauren and Heidi had a sort of long running feud at this stage, having started off the series being best friends. And oh my gosh, I know so much about this. It got me through my college career. So Lauren was kind of the originator of The Hills. She had been on this show called Laguna Beach, the real OC. And that show had then followed her to see how she got on when she had left school and she was trying to make it in the big bad world of LA. So Heidi came in at that point as her best mate. And then they had a huge falling out over Heidi's boyfriend, Spencer, who she's now still married to, 12 years later at this
looks
age?
If you've ever seen Harry and the Hendersons and the actual Bigfoot from it, he's so like that, it's actually unbelievable. And he's now into conspiracy theories and crystals. He's one of those 9/11 truther kind of people. So that is how fame has affected him. And fame affected Heidi in the way that she looks completely unrecognisable from what she used to look like.
But what they did was, and they've actually come out since, so during the show when it was on air, they claimed they'd never done this. And they had this massive showdown. And it is one of those moments, because there's so many scripted moments in reality TV, but you could tell when you were watching this, because none of them were great actors, that this was a genuine moment. And the reason Lauren was screaming, "You know what you did," at Heidi was because Heidi and Spencer had released a rumour to the press that Lauren had made a sex tape with her then boyfriend.
And Jason.
This had got out. It had done the rounds. I don't think it was actually true, but what was true was that the story had come from them. But the amazing thing about the way that they shot it is, even though the technology and science of waterproof mascara existed in the aughts, nobody wore it. So all of these fight scenes that they had, all of the girls have these rivets of black mascara tears running down their face, which is kind of what I associate with the original series.
There's something about it that was very like a Bret Easton Ellis novel, but they weren't allowed to show you the X-rated info. So you felt that there was always this darker subtext to it, like the sex tapes, like the drugs, like the alcohol, you know, the underage drinking, everything like that. These were girls gone wild, living outside of their home with so much money to spend on Dior saddlebags, which was the bag du jour at that time. And I think there's something about it, the way it was shot, it looked so isolated, so weirdly paranoid. You felt like any moment it was like a Charles Manson incident was waiting to happen.
And also, unlike the likes of the Kardashians and the ones that you see nowadays, there was no social media. So none of these storylines and none of this actually got leaked beforehand, or did you see?
Okay, let's hear the trailer though from The Hills' New Beginnings.
been so long.
Has drastically changed.
I love watching you be a mom.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
So nice.
You gonna be watching this?
I watched it last night. Now, some of my friends actually set up a WhatsApp group to kind of live text each other. Now, I will say, our main takeaway from it, Matt, was, oh Christ, without this WhatsApp group, I wouldn't have made it past the first of many, many ad breaks on it. It's so boring.
But as Richard Lawson, the head critic for Vanity Fair, said, this reboot makes you just realise that life in your 30s is just not that interesting.
Yeah, they're so boring.
And the only thing about it is that's very interesting is the fact that Misha Barton from The OC has now been cast in The Hills. So basically, she doesn't really know what her place is. She doesn't really know any of these people. And she was an avatar created by the show Laguna Beach. And now she's joined the actual reality show that it was based on in a weird way. So it's like this meta move of art reflecting reality, reflecting art, reflecting life, okay. A skewed version of life.
Which brings us to Love Island.
Yes.
Did you watch Love Island last night? If you were watching this,
I was all tuckered up with The Hills. To be honest with you, Matt, okay. I didn't get
Love
to
Island,
it.
Maura has definitely turned out to be the star, hasn't
definitely,
she?
Definitely, 100%. Yeah, and, my type on paper. Okay, as like to
she
say.
Has, and let's hear a little bit of where she sparked the sexism debate in Love Island. Actually, just before we hear it, you better explain the context.
Okay,
of this.
So basically, Maura was supposed to go off in a hideaway with Tom, so they get a chance to have some alone time, and Tom is this model from Manchester who really has all the personality of a wet wipe. He's very forgettable, and she has been, as we've said, very sexually upfront about the way she behaves, and which is fine, which is great, because it's
is
all
it? Would it be acceptable in a man?
She says it in front of the guys and expects to get a reaction from them. Now, what she is doing is not, because there's this whole double standards issue of saying, oh, you know, well, basically what happened was she had been coupled up to go for a night in the hideaway with Tom. And before they went off, he was having a lads' bants with all the rest of the lads. And Curtis, one of the guys, threw him a condom and said, you know, enjoy yourself kind of thing. And he said, oh, I wonder if she'll, you know, she's all mouth. And she caught him.
Let's hear it.
I'm not bringing him to the hideaway.
What?
At all.
What?
I've just come down and guess what I overheard him saying? What? It'd be interesting to see if she's on mouth or not. He's obviously not a gentleman. I call him over, I go, what did you say? So he said it and I go, are you joking? And I go, did you say that? Yeah, but it's just because the boys were saying, and I was like, do what you can do, go f*** yourself.
Squash it, rapid.
They were just asking if you're on mouth or not.
So you've heard wrong and that's it.
Can you clear something up?
I feel like that was miscommunication. I don't know what.
What do you mean miscommunication? You said what you said.
No, they asked
yes,
me.
Yes, you did. You said it. And now what, you're saying you didn't?
I didn't say it.
Yes, you did. He is the last person that I want to speak to, see, or sleep next to tonight. No way.
I suppose the next time made it funny.
But it was, you know, it was nice to see death by lads banter. It was enjoyable to see that showdown. It was exhilarating to see a woman stand up for herself with such confidence, because what you're supposed to take away from that, I would say, is just because a woman is speaking truthfully or speaks about enjoying her sex life, it doesn't necessarily mean that she wants to have sex with every passing lad. Now, I would love to say that you know, men, young guys watching it would learn from Tom's mistake, but no doubt the majority of men that watched that would just take away that it was just, you know, the feeling of not getting caught and, you know, the usual boys will be boys. And I don't think there is that double standard, because what they were inferring is that she was easy because of the way she speaks about her sex life, which is so unfair, because, as I said, Moira is upfront with the guys about the way she feels about them, and it's not saying it behind their back, whereas they can, they're doing that typical lads thing of peacocking in a group where one of them will try and outdo the other and think it's hilarious to bring a woman down or denigrate her. So that was a really interesting, I think, you know, Love Island can be educational in that way. It always points to the, you know, the topics, hot topics of, say, you know, toxic masculinity, and if people think double standards, etc.
Yeah, but is there a double standard? I mean, if she is aggressively pursuing man, if a man was to do that to a woman, oh no, no wait, that's not Me Too. Move away. Don't
I
do
think that.
That and then
there
it's okay
is a problem.
For a woman.
No,
to
I
do
don't
it.
Disagree with you on
I
that
think
front.
There is a problem though with the way that it, in Love Island. The way that we're conditioned to see women as sexually passive. And if there is a woman in Love Island, like a Moira or a Megan from last year or Olivia from the year before that, who comes rocks up into the villa and just challenges that perceived notion of women being sexually passive, it sends shockwaves through
there's
social media.
There's sexually passive, there's sexually active, and there's been sexually aggressive. Now, surely it's a bad for a woman to be sexually aggressive as it would be for a man to be. And there should be on television that shouldn't be permitted, because you wouldn't allow a man to do it.
In the sense of, I understand from the time that we're talking about when she attempted to kiss Tommy, which I thought that was a real mistake. But what I'm saying is, any of the conversations that she has had in the villa regarding having sex with people or whatever have been face to face with the lads, and she hasn't said anything behind their back.
But you can take what happened as last night as a positive and agree with her on that. But I have to say, having looked at the footage of what happened with that chap, Tommy, I do agree that was sexually aggressive. And if it was a man who was being told no and continued making physical overtures towards
him. Told no. I mean, he did not say no to her. He dodged her kisses.
I know, but
physically.
Isn't that opening up a thing about consent?
How like, sexually aroused
saying,
he was.
Yeah, I know,
by
but that
her.
We if the roles were reversed, I have to say, I do think that if it was a man coming on to a woman and just
and
because
keeps
she
diving
didn't
in for a kiss, every oh,
that I understand.
Yeah,
that
oh,
just, no
because, just because he didn't say yes wasn't consent. And
oh, no,
I think that's a conversation.
That, but as I said before,
in fairness to men, that has to go both ways.
How sexually excited that she made him before that incident, and that's what people are forgetting
okay.
a lot.
Let's move on. I'm going through the list of TV's most hated characters. One listener, Grace, suggesting Janice Soprano, top of my pile of most hated TV characters. Others on this list, did I mention Hugh Bonneville playing Lord Grantham in Downton Abbey? Jess Mariano in Gilmore Girls. Oh, she's one of your hates.
Him.
Why? He's sorry.
Oh, I
there,
know.
That shows you what I know about Gilmore Girls. I thought Jess was a girl.
I kind of dislike everybody in Gilmore Girls in a way, and that's what's great awful. About it. Like, my absolute worst character ever in TV, I think, is Rory Gilmore, the star of Gilmore Girls. She is an entitled snob, and she's obsessed with wealth and status, and she pretends that she's not, and then she's supposed to be regarded, the whole town, village, whatever, regard her as some kind of, you know, intellectual, but she never says one intellectual thing in the whole entire 7 seasons.
Just because she goes to a fancy
she
school.
She should have been on the hills.
Yeah, no, they're more clever than Rory Gilmore. Just because you're book smart doesn't mean you're a smart girl. And, you know, she never actually says anything of worth at all. And I just find it, like, if you watch it, it's so insipid the way that the other characters bend to her will and think she's some kind of genius. It's actually just repugnant. Okay. And in the last season, she was horrific with the reboot.
Who were your most hated TV characters,
so
Steve?
I had an extensive list, as you can see there, Matt. So Carrie from Sex and the City, I just think she stands out to me. She's the worst character in it. If I had to be friends with her, I'd be gone.
Central character. Let's actually hear her in action. This is where she and Mr. Big have a fight in Sex and the City. And let me give you the language warning in this, that there might be the odd F-bomb here.
But you'd be moving to Paris for yourself, right? I mean, don't move for me.
Well, why would I move to Paris if it wasn't for you?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want you to uproot your life and expect anything.
I am such an idiot!
What the fuck?
I'm running around town in a beret, buying your greasy food, and you don't even care if I'm in your life.
Would you calm down?
No, you know what? I am so tired of calming down.
Look, I have to be in a relationship where if I have to go to Paris,
I have to go to Paris.
Fine, go to Paris, and then what happens to us next year when you decide you just have to go to Brazil?
This isn't about us. This is about work.
No, this isn't about work. This is about us getting closer and you getting so freaked out that you have to put an ocean between us.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Why is it so hard for you to factor me into your life in any real way?
I guess old habits die hard.
Well, maybe I can't do this anymore.
I understand.
Yeah, I bet you do. You said you loved me.
I do.
And why does it hurt so fucking much?
Listener says, thank you for saying that about Rory and Gilmore Girls and Carrie in Sex and the City. They are little brats.
They are. I mean, there's a scene in Sex and the City where Carrie sends one of her boyfriends to help her mate who's fallen down naked in the shower and can't move.
But like, I think that's
what an
the
awful
thing.
Friend.
I think that, you know, her narcissism is addressed in the show several times. And I think that's the good thing about those kind of people, like your Hannah Horvath in Girls as well. I think a lot of the time this is used as a stick to beat women with if they don't adhere to some kind of female stereotype where men are allowed to be complex and anti-heroes, but women like Skylar White in Breaking Bad are just bitches. And, you know, Don Draper can go and dip his wick everywhere he wants, but if, you know, Betty Draper does the same thing,
yeah, people go mad for that
reason. Actually, let's hear a little bit of Betty Draper. I mean, I have to say I was always a big fan of January Jones as Betty Draper in Mad Men. And this is where she gave an interview in which she defended her character who got the criticism you just mentioned.
She got hate mail.
I mean, I'm really sick of defending her. I think that she's a good person and I think she tries every day to be a better person and to be a good mother and to be a good wife and to be happy. And I think that the people are... I don't know if she's just on a higher standard than Don or other people, but they judge her more harshly than anyone else. And some of the mistakes that she makes and when she flounders are more criticized. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if people don't understand her and they feel strongly one way or the other, whether it's they sympathize or empathize with her in the first seasons or they dislike her when she broke up with Don or cheated on Don or whatever she did, she married someone else. Then they sympathize with her again when she gained weight, and then they didn't like her again after she lost the weight. I don't really get it. Like, I think that if they feel one way, strongly one way or the other, I'm doing my job.
Yeah, a lot of women characters just, they're not allowed to be nuanced, and well, I think funny, that's the problem.
This listener points out an awful lot of the list we're going through, it tends to be nearly all women that are really hated.
I was going to say, like, an anchor character that I had on my list, who is a man, is Dawson Leary from Dawson's Creek. So for a lot of the same reasons that you detest Rory Gilmore, I just think Dawson Leary's the ultimate drip, and he's the kind of guy who you could tell him that you've directed 3 feature films and you have a degree in filmmaking from Harvard and he'd still think he knew more about
it than
you.
But I like those complex, just saying, go back to that, I like those complex women characters where they show, you know, like in Girls, I think Girls gets a lot of criticism and I think every character in Girls is horrific, and that's great because the show is refreshing because women aren't like all likeable in real life. Women aren't perfect, women are unlikable, and I think that's okay too. And I think the issue of writing an unlikable character in one of my all time favourite shows, 6 Feet Under, Nate, who was extremely problematic, he married a woman called Lisa and they had a child together, and Lisa was really irritating, she was sensitive, she was demanding, and lots of fans hated her, but then she went missing and was murdered. And when you found that out at the same time as Nate did, as a viewer you felt guilty because of your hatred, and I think that was a really clever way of doing
that. Okay, I just want to take one more because we have to get to the picks of the week. This is actually when Chandler, well, this is a piece that Friends, season 2 of Friends, Lauren Tom played Julie, a probably forgotten character, the paleontologist girlfriend of Ross. And she recently revealed that her character was so unpopular amongst fans of the show that they would boo her during the tapings of it. Let's hear her.
Hey, anybody know a good tailor?
You need some clothes altered?
No, I'm just looking for a man to draw on me with chalk.
You did my first suit when I was 15. No, wait, 16. No, excuse me, 15. All right, when was 1990?
Okay, you have to stop the Q-tip when there's resistance.
No, actually, that was the wrong clip. That's Matthew Perry as Chandler Bing, isn't it?
Yep, who I dislike. He's one of my hated characters. I just think
he's smug.
Yeah, and also he's not funny, and I think he ruined Irish men for life because they think that snarky sense of humour is supposed to be amusing, and it's just not. And whereas Monica, they wrote her as a shrew, and she became more shrewish as time went on and not easygoing and relaxed. He kind of got away with this stupid juvenile way of being like non-committal and not wanting to get married for like ages.
Listeners, giving out that we should have been talking about Janice Soprano all night. She was one of the greats. That is a fair point. Now, picks of the week to finish off with both of you. Give us your one first, please, Jennifer.
It is on Netflix and it's called Trinkets, and it's based on a young adult novel that is about three young girls who form this unlikely alliance in a Shoplifters Anonymous meeting, and it follows those usual tropes, like as one is a rich girl, one is the perceived rebel, and then one is the shy loner, but they bond about their mutual secret shoplifting habit, and it's kind of each of the girls they're dealing with other issues, and you know they're compulsive shoplifters because of their frustrations with their family life or grief, or you know, there's a really good storyline about one of the girls being with a very possessive boyfriend, and it's just kind of an interesting, it's a show that kind of hits hard, but it's a sweet look at the intricacies of female friendships.
And your choice, T. Redding?
Mine is Beecham House. So the third episode airs on ITV at 9 this Sunday. I've watched the first two, really really interesting. It's obviously filling a Downton shaped period drama hole in their schedule, but for me what really stands out about this is it's set just before the English Raj, and it actually kind of unusual enough to see on British television, because Gurinder Chadha is behind it, she's the creator of it, it tells a much more Indian centric story than what you'd be used to seeing in period dramas.
Are you ready? Jennifer Gannon, thank you as ever.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.